I couldn't resist. I just couldn't resist. Well, you'll have to come and find out why there is a button on the door. I'm not going to press it. It's a special button. But that's enough about that. You have to come tonight to find out what that button is about. When I saw the set, I thought, man, I better preach on Jonah. Because it looks like I'm getting swallowed by a big fish. And I thought, man, well, you know, that's okay. As a matter of fact, I think God has led us exactly where we need to be, especially as we launch out into this week of Vacation Bible School. And just in general, because of all the ministries that are going on in the summertime. We've got people going on mission trips. We've got camps. We've got Vacation Bible School. All sorts of things that is going on throughout the summer. In many ways, the summer is busier than the rest of the year. It's just not the same routine. And what I want us to see today is that our enjoyment must come from the Lord, not what we do for Him. And we have a tendency to turn that around. And so I think today's message and where God has us in His Word is perfect for us. And we want to see that disciples enjoy Jesus. That is who we enjoy. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38. If you don't have a Bible, take one out of the back of the pew in front of you, please, and use it. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, I still hear pages turning, I'll wait. Okay. The Bible says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Let's pray. Lord, as we see your word and your interaction with your dear friends, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through the situation. And that every single one of us, dear Lord, would hear from you. And Lord, we would maybe be recalibrated. Lord, help us, because we have a tendency to be like Martha. And we see plainly here that you call us to be like Mary. I pray, Father God, that you would set our priorities right. Lord, that you would help remove the distractions, not just from us right now while we're in this room, but Lord, even in our lives. I feel it can be said of us that we are anxious and troubled about many things. And Lord, you are the solution to that. And Lord, we pray for you. We want you. And it's in your name we pray, amen. So what we have here is Jesus and his entourage, those who are with him. They enter a village. The village is actually Bethany. We know that because that's where Martha, Mary, and Lazarus live. They were all siblings. Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. And so there was a relationship there. They knew one another. They knew one another quite well, and they cared for each other. And so Martha is hosting dinner this night. You know, she's planning. They've been out, and they come in from being out ministering and all sorts of areas, and they come back. And so this is kind of like Jesus' home away from home. When he's not at Peter's house, he's here at Martha's house. And so they come in, and there's a lot to do. You all know if you're going to have dinner guests over, there's a lot to do. You've got to get out all the dishes. You've got to cook. You've got to cook. You've got to clean. In this case, they clean their feet. You've got to have drinks and food and watering the animals and making sure that everyone has what they need. As a host or hostess, that's what you do. You make sure everything's right. The biblical text actually says that Martha was distracted with much serving. And she was going all out to make this special evening and prove to be a good hostess. But Martha wasn't alone. At least she didn't think she was. She was supposed to have a sister helping her. But maybe not so. Mary's in the living room, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to him rather than helping Mary serve the guest. So Martha, and I can actually picture this. I can picture it because, well, you know, have you ever been in that situation? You've been in a situation where you've been doing the work and the people are supposed to be helping you, but they're not helping you. They're going in, and they're enjoying your work. That's what they're doing. I'm not working for them. I'm working for them. How dare you're supposed to be helping me? What are you doing? I can see that. And so she's distracted with much serving. She's taking great pains to ensure everything is pleasant and works well, and that everyone has all they need. But as the night wears on, as things continue, I think it starts weighing on her. I believe she started to grow resentful. You ever done that? I mean, we do it. We all do it. If not, you lie too. We grow resentful because people should be serving like we are. They should be helping us, or they should be doing their fair share. They should be doing their part. And everything was fine at first, but then as they settled down, Mary needs to get in here and help. That's what Martha's thinking. The bread's not going to cut itself. The fish needs buttered. The hush puppies need rolled. The foot water's got to be changed. Everyone must be thirsty. Don't drink the foot water. But all of this, and after a few trips in and out of the living room, doing the dishes, dusting the rugs, doing all this stuff, she begins thinking, I have to do everything around here. I'm always taking care of everybody. They should be helping. At least my own sister should be helping. With each trip in and out, Martha hears a portion of Jesus' teaching, love your brother as yourself. It's like, well, my sister should love me and get up and help. The next time she's in the room, she hears, you're the salt and light of the world. And Martha thinks, well, Mary should go get the salt and she should work on the lights and put some more oil in the lamps. And she's just filtering everything she hears through this negative thing going on in her head. You ever been that way? Yeah, we do that, don't we? Once we kind of get crossways, we're crossways with everything. And even everything that's coming in is crooked. Everything that's coming into her, and it's just building to this resentment. It's coming. And on the next trip, Jesus says, and God will supply all your needs. And she thinks, then he should supply me with a better sister, because mine won't do a thing around here. And she concludes, if Jesus cared as much as he says he cares, then why doesn't he do something about this great injustice that I am experiencing? So she thinks, I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to say something. And that's the way it goes, isn't it? We think we're overlooking stuff, but we're really not. There's a biblical way to overlook something. If an offense is small and you choose to overlook it, then what that means is that you forget about it. It never existed. You don't hold it against the person. You don't hold it over the head. You don't bring it up in future conversations. If you can't let it go, then the Bible tells you and shows you how to deal with things in Matthew. He plainly tells us that we're to go to one another and work things out in a way that brings Him glory. But if you don't do that and you pretend you're overlooking it, but really you're not, you're just avoiding the conflict, what you're doing is delaying the conflict and you're making it exasperated when it happens. And that's what happens here. She says, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to say something. So, verse number 40. She says, Jesus, you don't care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her to help me. Well, that's awkward. You ever been over somebody's house and they get in a family squabble? Or in a car, worse. And they're fighting. Well, that's what's going on here. And Jesus is right square in the middle of it. And that's the way ministry is, actually. Ministry is messy. And the reason it's messy is because there's people involved. And you can expect it. You should just know that it's going to happen, expect it, and then learn how to deal with it God's way. And then keep going. Because He'll use that messiness to show His glory and to show how He works through problems and changes us to be more like Him. And so here, Jesus is in the middle of a family squabble. So let's look at Martha's comment, verse 40. I think we can learn a lot about what's going on in her heart and maybe even about what happens in our heart in similar situations. First, we see that Martha had an accusing heart. She's really saying that she cares more about this situation than Jesus does. She's accusing Jesus. Don't you care? Her first accusation is against Christ. They're like family to one another. They enjoyed one another's time. Again, this is Jesus' home away from home. This is where he loved them. They were intimate. He could come in and make himself at home. And in John 11:5, we're told that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, who was her brother. He loved them. But she's questioning that love because of the circumstance. She's questioning Jesus' love for her because of what's going on. She has an accusing heart within her. I know that sometimes we're tempted to doubt the Lord's love for us too, aren't we? Especially when things aren't going quite like we thought they should go. But it seems like that's one of the first things we do. Well, Lord, you know, I'm serving you. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm going to church. I'm giving my tithes. I'm trying to help out and be friendly to people. And this is what happens for that? Have you not ever said that in your own life? Have you not ever felt that way, maybe? Am I the only one? No? Okay, I'm not the only one. So either you know someone that that's happened to, or it's happened to you. We question His love, or we question, is it worth it? Why am I doing all this stuff if you're not going to fix my problems? That's what we think. Well, is that the right motivation for doing all the stuff? No. The reason we serve is not so the Lord fixes all of our problems. The reason we serve is because we love Him. See, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You're told. God tells you there's going to be some anxiety in your life. There's going to be some problems in your life. He even says you're going to get persecuted. Some of you may even die for Him. But humble yourself under Him. What she did was the opposite of humbling herself. She accuses Him. She demands upon Him. He says cast all of your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. You see, accusing God is really placing yourself in a place of judgment over Him. It is sitting in judgment of Him. And that is the opposite of humble yourself. But we lose sight of the fact that He cares for us, even though we would all say He died for us.
Well, he demonstrates his love towards you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. So if he's going to do that while you're a sinner, then how much more does he love you now? If it was even possible, he would love you more. But it's not possible because you had all his love before. So that's why he died. But blaming God is nothing new. We all do this. It's a lie when we do that, but when we all do that, it goes all the way back to the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? And they ate from the tree. And God comes, Adam, what have you done? And he said, God, it's your fault. It's that woman you gave me. It's your fault. He did anything he could rather than take the blame himself. He accused everybody. It's God's fault. It's a woman's fault. It's not his. No. And the second thing we see is Martha, she wasn't only accusing Jesus, she was also accusing her sister of not helping. She was accusing her sister of not caring. And so she lashes out. She's lashing out at Jesus. She's lashing out at her sister. It's interesting that just before this, you remember last week, we saw where the lawyer come and asked Jesus about what it took to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Or actually the lawyer did that and Jesus commended him in his answer. Said, that is right. And here, the very next story, you have a situation where Martha is accusing God and accusing her sister. It's the application of what we just saw playing out in the lives of people, even people that Christ loves dearly and knows dearly on a personal level. When people start doing that, they start complaining about everyone else. They start comparing themselves to everyone else. You ever done that? You ever compare yourself to other people? Especially in a ministry? And you know, listen, doesn't the Bible teach that all of us are gifted in different ways and all of us have some sort of a different calling and all of us have different jobs to do in the church? Does the Bible teach us that? Yes, it does, right? Do you believe that? Yes. And so, of course, their ministry is going to look different than yours. Of course, they're not going to serve in the same way. Of course, they're not going to work at the same level because God has made them different. He's given each person different. I'm glad everyone's not a preacher because if they were, I wouldn't get many opportunities to stand up here and preach. Maybe one every 4 years with 200 people preaching. And so each person has a part to play, and God knits us together and brings us together for His good and His purpose and His plan. But what happens is when you have an accusing heart, you compare yourself to everyone else, you lash out at others, and you blame others for your issues. She has an accusing heart. I used to think that this was just an American problem. We call this is really the victim mentality is what this is, a victim's mentality. And that is, we think so highly of ourselves, and it's often said in America, this is an American problem, but I think this is actually a worldwide problem. And it was obviously a problem here in the city of Bethany because Mary's doing it. But the idea is that we think so highly of ourselves that everything in life should just be a golden road. And when something goes wrong, it's got to be someone else's fault because we're perfect and everything's got to go my way. And so we start to blame everyone else for our problems. Do you not do that? Do I not do that? I was thinking, I wonder if I could get through a whole day without blaming someone else for my problems. I don't know if I could. Could you? But we always want to do that. We want to compare ourselves to other people. It's all, you know, the reason I didn't get the job is because I'm fat and they were discriminating. Well, the reason you didn't get the job is because they were discriminating against women. The reason you didn't get the job is because you're African American and they were discriminating. There's always a reason. There's a reason. We have to, well, you know what? You're not the center of the universe. That's the reason. The reason is God's the center of the universe. And when we blame everyone else for our problems, what we're doing is saying God's not in control. Maybe God has presented the problem so that you can know more about Him, so that you could see His hand at work, so that you could understand His faithfulness, maybe so you could understand your own faithfulness in the time of difficulty. Martha had an accusing heart, but why? And the reason is given. Jesus tells us Martha also had a distracted heart. She was distracted. She was all tied up in everything that was going on. She was the center of it. If she were in our church, we'd say, wow, she's one of our best workers. She was right in the center, in the thick of it. But how's that going for her? It goes for her about as good as it goes for us. When we get to thinking, oh, wow, look at me, man, I'm getting this done. I'm providing a great evening for everybody. If it weren't for me, everything would just fall apart. People should be working like I'm working. People should be doing what I'm doing. They're lazy. They're bums. Jesus should tell her to help. She should be helping. All of these things. These things are distractions. And really what's at the root of those things are just symptoms of something else that's going on in her heart. These things lead to hurt, they lead to disappointment, and ultimately to sin. When your heart is for anything other than Jesus, it will end up in hurt. That's the principle here. And here's how this applies. Martha was looking for validation in her ministry. She was looking for validation. She was looking for this to be a great evening. She was looking for her ministry to bring her fulfillment, and it's someone else's fault that it's not. It's someone else's fault that it's falling apart. And so now her identity is placed in this. You ever felt that way? We felt that way, haven't we? I've felt that way. And it's your fault that I'm not able to be fulfilled in this. It's your fault that this isn't working. It's your fault. When I first came to Ballardsville, I wanted to blame the committees for all the problems. They were just a tool to accomplish something that needed to be accomplished. And so I wanted to blame them. And it wasn't very long before the Lord said, no, they're not the problem. You are. And so I repent of that. She was distracted by her work, by many other things. And even what happens is her hurting heart becomes a distraction even at that. Her heart became full of anger, became full of pride, resentment, bitterness, envy, and even what turned out to be a critical spirit. She felt abandoned. She felt neglected. And she even feels abused and taken advantage of. And so she gets mad. She gets jealous. She starts to think that she's the better sister because she's actually doing something. She was under attack. She's under attack. And what brings her to this attack is the ministry that she's doing and all of these things that's distracting her. In Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Satan is throwing darts at her. He's throwing arrows at her. He's, and the solution is taking up your shield of faith, believing in God, not doubting His love for you, but believing His love for you. Believing the faith, not doubting the faith. And what she needed to do is sit down and spend some time with Jesus because she was being tempted to believe a lie rather than believe the truth that He did love her. It's at this point, I'd say Martha needed to have a little talk with Jesus. And if I could sing, I would sing that old song. I appreciate that, Neil. Actually, that means a lot coming from you. No, I can't do it without my wife. I don't sing solos. But you remember, who knows that song? Just a little talk with Jesus. Now let us have a little talk with you. You remember that song? Tell Him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry. And so that's what she needed to do. That's what we need to do. She had an accusing heart. She had a distracted heart. And that results in a demanding heart. A demanding heart. Martha demanded that Jesus tell Mary to help. And I looked at the Greek in this, and it's actually, the form of language is an imperative, and that means it is indeed a command. this is not, hey, will you please talk to Mary and tell her that I could use some help? And no, this is, you tell her to help me. But it was not Martha's place to command Jesus. You see, Martha is a lot like Peter. And I find this interesting. As a matter of fact, if you go study Martha and you study Peter, you'll find they're cut from the same cloth. And I think it's interesting. It's very interesting that when Jesus he's got two homes. He's got two home bases. One is here in Martha's house, and the other one is in Galilee at Peter's house in Capernaum. He's spending his time with these people. He's with them all the time, and yet these are the people who are all the time getting this wrong. Peter got this wrong. Peter told Jesus, he commanded Jesus. He said, listen, come here. Jesus, you just told those guys that you're going to die in Jerusalem. He said, you can't tell them that anymore because you're going to ruin their morale. And what does Peter say? Or what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. You see, it's not Peter's place to tell Jesus what to do. It's not Martha's place to tell Jesus what to do. It's not your place to command Jesus, and it's not my place to command Jesus. He is Jesus. He commands us. Martha presumes that she is the greatest, that she knows what is right and wrong in the situation, and then she proceeds to tell the Creator of the world how to fix it. Don't we do that? Don't we become demanding when this sort of thing happens to us? Don't we become demanding when we start feeling like we're the only one working, when we start feeling like we're the only one that knows anything? We start feeling like that everyone else should perform up to our level. If everyone else would just do a little bit more like us, then the world would be... Don't we start becoming demanding? We start telling people how to do it? Yes, we do. The truth is, we don't trust God. We don't trust what He's doing, so we want to tell Him how to do it, and we want to tell others how to do it. So what's the remedy? What's the remedy? Well, first, we must realize that when you see yourself becoming critical and demanding action, when you see that happening, you know that you've gone the way of Martha. Much distraction has made you mad. And that distraction may be the events of the situation. It may be your ministry. It may be the sin that's welling up within your heart. But whatever it is, there's things that have distracted you from the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. And that's the remedy. What's the remedy? The remedy is Jesus in verses 41 and 42. Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Don't you want to say, Martha, Martha. Martha, maybe that's where they got that. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing's necessary. Like if you want to be bothered with something, let me tell you what to be bothered about. That's what I'm saying. You're anxious, you're troubled about all these things. There's just, it's eating you up. Let me tell you what to be concerned about. One thing's necessary. And your sister, she chose that thing. It says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, what happened to Martha? Martha's joy was gone. Martha's peace was gone. Martha was in the process of trying to be self-destructive and destroy her relationships. She was lashing out. The thing that she was working for vanished in front of her, a wonderful evening. But Mary chose the good portion, which will not be taken away. Jesus is the remedy. Spending time with Jesus is knowing Him. It's not doing things for Him. Those things, that's important, and He calls us to do that. But after we've been with Him, Martha was distracted by what she was doing, even though what she was doing was good. She was doing a good thing, but she hadn't spent time with the King. She was fixing dinner, but Mary was actually eating dinner. And we need to understand that. In Luke 4:4, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What if? Listen, I can't uncrave food. I just crave. My mom said I was eating cereal on my third day of life. And she said they couldn't. I was just screaming that I'm hungry. I'm hungry right now. I can't uncrave food. And Jesus says, you can't live by that alone, but every word that proceeds out of His mouth. What if I had a craving for His Word? What if I had a craving for Him the same way I craved food? What if I had an unquenchable craving for God? What if you had an unquenchable... Listen, we start missing a meal, what do? We start looking for food. What happens when we miss a meal with the Lord? Does it even bother us? What happens if we miss a Sunday of church or a Wednesday? Or what happens if we miss a Sunday school group or a get-together? What happens when we miss spending time with the Lord? What happens when we miss our quiet time? Don't we crave that? Wouldn't we say, hey, you know what? I need Jesus. I need to go get filled up. That's what she needed. That's what she needed. Sometimes we even get distracted by bad things. So she's distracted by good things. Sometimes we get distracted by bad things real quickly. 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen to this, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And listen to this, and the world, he says in verse 17, is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. He says, even the world's passing away. Listen, I don't care what your ministry is, one day it's going to be gone. You know that? Doesn't matter what you're doing, one day it's going to be gone. One day you're not going to be able to do that thing anymore. Well, I've shared with you, I'm the interim pastor here. One day there's going to be someone else standing right here. One day there's going to be someone else teaching your Sunday school class. One day, and listen, it's not your Sunday school class and it's not my church, and this is something we have to constantly remind ourselves of. Constantly remind ourselves. It is not mine. It is not yours. It is God's. And we are stewards of what He has allowed us to be a part of. Stewards of it. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong. And this doesn't belong to Martha. Martha had the opportunity to sit down with Jesus. She made it about herself rather than Him. And that is the temptation for all of us. Martha was distracted by all the things, so she lost sight of the fact that the Son of God was sitting in her living room. And I think we do that on a regular basis. What if you could just sit down and talk with Jesus? Wouldn't that be something? What if you could curl up in His arms? And you could just curl up in His arm, and you could listen to Him, you could pray to Him, you could talk to Him, you could hear His Word. What if you could ask Him questions, and what if He would answer you? You can. You can. You can have that intimate time and relationship with Jesus. You can. He's made that possible. We do that through prayer. We do that through His Word. We even do that through fellowship when it's properly done. We can experience Christ in unbelievable ways just by being with Him, by just His presence is with us, the Bible says. But we get so distracted in all the things that aren't going right. And we allow those things that aren't going right to cause division like she has. And we need to hear Jesus say, get back to me. Come into the living room and sit down at my feet and listen to me. Spend time with me. Pray to me. Love me. Because I love you. What's Matthew 6:33 say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. Seek Him. Your priority as a Christian, my priority as a Christian, is seeking Christ. It's being with Him. Not doing things for Him. Now, those things come, but they come as a result of being with Him. They don't substitute for being with Him. What if I told you the only time I ever open my Bible is when I stand up here to preach? How would you think? What if I said the only time I spend any time with God is when I'm preparing a message? The only time I pray is when I'm asking God to help me preach. The only time I really spend any time with Him at all is when something's going wrong in my life and I have to ask Him to fix it. Well, you would say, well, man, you need to spend some time with the Lord. Yes, you're right. We all do. Every single one of us. It is out of that time with Him. See, she was confusing serving Jesus as being with Jesus. She was confusing doing things for Jesus as having a relationship with Jesus. And many people in our churches do that. That's why it's so important to be regularly in teaching. And I would say two types of teaching. Teaching like this, the preaching, because the Bible says that God uses the foolishness of preaching to speak to us. He does that. He does it. And the other is it some sort of group. What is it, Sunday school, home group, some sort of group where you can ask questions, where you can hear things, the responses, where you can be corrected. Be under Him. Spend some time with Him. And what about quiet times and reading your Bible and daily study and those sorts of things? What did we used to call those things? Christian disciplines, spiritual disciplines, things that help us grow in maturity in our faith because we're spending time with the Lord. Jesus points out that she's anxious and bothered and troubled about all of these things. You know, once Satan gets you worried about one thing, it turns into a snowball and it rolls. You ever notice that? In my life, if one thing goes wrong, then and I start dwelling upon that and I don't process that properly with the Lord, then what happens is everything starts. And it's just a snowball in my mind. I start having this dialogue over in my mind. I'm being tormented by thoughts. It's the attack of the enemy. It's a spiritual warfare. And that's what was happening with her. It was snowballing out of effect. It consumes her thoughts and her conversations and even her friendships. And Philippians 4, 6 through 7, we're told, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but it says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And you could say, well, wasn't that what Mary or Martha was doing? Well, no, she wasn't doing that. She was commanding Him. She was demanding Him. She was accusing Him. But even if you want to say that, He says, do it with thanksgiving, and she was not doing it with thanksgiving. He says, but in all things, in all of your anxieties, in everything, go spend time with Jesus about it and let Him give you a fresh new perspective on it that doesn't skew every relationship in your life. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what Martha needed. That's what we needed. Spending time with God in prayer, meditating upon His Word, listening to Him. Jesus tells her this is necessary. One thing is necessary. It's this. One thing. Sitting at His feet. What is it? Mary chose the good portion. It will not be taken away. No amount of work's good enough. Work. Listen, you're always going to have more work to do. There's always going to be more ministry to do. How often do you get a chance to sit at Jesus' feet? The demands of tomorrow, the demands of today are going to be calling soon. So spend some time at Jesus' feet. And those demands don't cease. They always come. They keep coming back. Ministry is a consuming thing. You know that in your ministry. I know that in my ministry. Everybody in the world who serves in ministry knows that. It is a consuming thing. It takes, it takes, it takes. And so when do you get, people say, well, when do I get fed? Well, you need to spend some time with Jesus and get fed. That's what you need to do. Everybody needs a sabbatical. Everybody. There's a lady that comes in here. I don't remember her name. Some of you may know her. She comes in once a year. She shows up for about a month. And she goes to a great church down the road. It's a Baptist church, Southern Baptist Church. And she comes, and she's a Sunday school teacher down there. And she says, well, I'm here for my sabbatical. And she comes, and she sits back there, and she comes for a month, and she places herself under teaching. She's letting God pour into her. She's gaining new and fresh perspective so she can go back and serve again. And I'm pretty certain that this is someone who probably spends every day in the Word as well. But there's seasons in her life where she draws away in a more substantial way and refreshes and allows God to pour into her. You see, disciples enjoy spending time with Jesus. Look at what Jesus did. Even when the crowds were coming to Him, what would He do? He would get away and enjoy relationship, enjoy fellowship with the Father. He would spend time praying. He would leave the ministry. The crowds were trying to get to Him. They're following Him in boats and all kinds of things. He's sending storms to keep them away. And He's just trying to get away from them so He can spend time with the Father. And that's the way it works. That's what you need to do every single day. Not just once a year. Every single day you need to have some sabbatical time in your day that you spend with the Lord so that then when life demands, when ministry demands, you're able to give. You have something to give because you've been with Him. Ministry flows out of the time we spend with Jesus. Otherwise, ministry becomes about us and our ministry, rather than about Him and His glory. So, how do I relate this to Vacation Bible School? Perfectly. We're all going to be called upon. We've already been called upon. Look behind me. You're already called upon. You're going to be more called upon to give, to reach children, to find families that aren't connected. You're going to be asked to minister to them. You're going to have opportunity to give of yourself and of your time and of your talent and of your money and all the things that God has blessed you with. You're going to be asked to give that for the benefit of everything that's going to be going on here. And not just this, everything that's going on all the time. And so how is it that you prepare for that? We don't serve on an empty tank. It starts tonight. We need to be full up, overflowing. Allow God to fill us up. How can you take the children somewhere you haven't been yourself? How can we show a child the way to Jesus when we don't know it ourselves? How can we stop the ministry, stop the doing, and start caring about the least of these? His little children. How can would we be willing to be interrupted so that God can get the glory? And then the next question is this, in your own life, will you be willing to be interrupted in whatever plans you have today and every day forward to spend time with God? So that He gets the glory. Well, we sit down, maybe it means going to bed a little bit earlier so we can get up earlier in the morning and spend some time with Him. Will you spend time with Christ? Every day spend time with Him. And let's do that starting now. Let's pray.